time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, and he's on again. What is it, Friday morning? Yes, it is. And outside, it's a little on the cool side, but there is some sunshine out there, and that's good. And boy, I saw somebody I haven't seen in a long time walking down the sidewalk where I usually see him, Kenny Spafford. Kenny for a million years. And I thought that looked like him walking down the sidewalk. So I said, hey, Kenny. He had no idea. He said, what do you do here? He said, I work here. Oh, it all goes back many, many years ago when I was at the original WDIF. Now, Kenny came in and we felt sorry for him and we all bought him a Christmas present. And he really appreciated that so much that the following year he gave us a list of what he wanted for Christmas. Oh, well, so much for history. Today, we're going to have registration again for the drawing of the ticket for the Ridgedale Lions Club. And that's coming up just under a month from now. Woohoo! Here's the details. The Ridgedale Lions Club every year does this. In fact, this is about the 18th year. Their annual Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR dinner and auction. Saturday, February 15th. Doors open at 4, the dinner at 5, and an auction will follow that. And so there will be other items, too, to bid on, I understand. Chicken dinner will be prepared by Country Caterers, and soft drinks furnished BYOB. You know what that stands for? Okay. Oh, boy, it sounds like a great time will be had at the Ridgedale Lions Club NASCAR Dinner and Auction coming up less than a month from now, February 15th. All right. So we'll have a drawing at the end of the program today on all those that give me the correct answer for one of my questions. I'll put you on a list here to be drawn. All right. So now what? I've got a lot of questions about radio today. I grew up a lot, some people listening might have too, sitting in front of a radio, listening to the old radio programs. Now, this was before the advent of customized radio stations. In other words, today on FM, you'll find a lot of stations will play a particular kind of music. Most of it is rock. Wherever you tune on the dial, you'll hear rock or you'll hear country. And long before that, before radio separated itself into categories, why they had programs like Lum and Abner. Remember Lum and Abner and the Jot'em Down store in, where was it? In Alabama or some Louisiana, where was it? Lum and Abner, yeah, the Jot'em Down store. And Captain Marvel or Captain Midnight and the guy, the Royal Canadian Mountie, what was his name? you had programs like every day, so you had to sit in front of the radio waiting for your next program to come on, not for your next record to play. So that was a lot. That was quite a while ago. So my questions today will have a lot to do with old radio. And also with railroads. And my first question will be on railroads today. What was the number one problem with the early railroads? Now, I know there were bad tracks and poor construction in places, but that's not what caused most of the wrecks on the early trains that went across the country, out west especially. What was the thing that caused more deaths and more derailments? 740-383-9944. Do you have an answer for that? Okay. 740-383-9944. What caused railroads so many accidents and so many deaths? And you were taking your life in your own hands when you boarded a railroad train back in those early times. Those times mostly over. Although we've still had some very bad wrecks involving fatalities. Okay, here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, how you doing this morning?
Well, let me check. Hey, all right, yes.
All right, you know, I'm going to give a shot at that,
yeah,
since I'm into model railroading.
Oh, good.
I would say maybe bank robberies and when they used to stop the trains and hold ups and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, this is a four-legged deal.
Oh! Okay, cows! Because the cow catcher on the front.
Well, yeah, they called it a cow catcher, but it caught more than cows.
Okay,
Wait, hey, what was it that caught, ran into that derailed so many locomotives? And you'll find the answer on one side of an old nickel.
Huh. Oh, Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Gee whiz.
Yeah.
You took me to school today.
Well, hey, let me put your name down here, put you in the drawing for the Ridgedale Lions Club.
Sure. Stephen Salisbury.
Okay, so I'm writing this down as you talk here, Stephen. Just like Salisbury Steak.
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay.
You know, we just love to hear you on the radio.
Well, thanks a lot. You'll hear more about radio today, some old-time radio.
Well, okay. We love it, and it's such a shame that what happened to WMRN there. I mean, when Seneca Radio took over, it really messed up. You guys are the only one we got right now, you know?
Well, good,
we
yes.
appreciate it.
Okay, all right.
Hey, you guys have a good day now.
Okay, Stephen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And we make that drawing. Get my right to microphone on here. We'll make that drawing just before noon today. So, Stephen, his name is in the box here to be drawn, or not drawn, whatever. Okay. Let me cross off Bison on the track. Okay, we got that answer. And now here's a good one. Let's go back to the days, well, a lot of you, when you were kids, as a lot of you guys built crystal radios, didn't you? And you can still do it. You know, that's the thing. You can still build a crystal radio and pick up AM radio stations. Not FM, but AM. And you can pick them up for quite a distance if you've got the right materials. Now, my next question is, what must you have a successful crystal radio? What does it take to make a crystal radio operate? 740-383-9944. And it's interesting, something that took place over 100 years ago can still work without batteries. No batteries, no electric required. Crystal radios featured something that is still highly in use today. In fact, if you have an LED light bulb at home, you have an ingredient of an early crystal radio. So what was it? Can you give me all the pieces that you had to have to build a successful crystal radio? Okay, and if you win that answer, or get that answer correct, I'll put you in the drawing for the Ridgedale Lions Club. Okay. Now, you think about that a while. Think what it takes to build a crystal radio. Well, the number one thing is a crystal, of course. I'll give you that much. Okay, now going back to an earlier radio time, not too early though, there was once a high-powered station in Cleveland that moved to Philadelphia, and you can still hear it. It's 1060 on the dial. It's in Philadelphia, but it used to be in Cleveland, and it has call letters that pertain to normally west of the Mississippi, because it starts with the letter K, I'll give you that much. Usually the letter K preceding a call letter is west of the Mississippi River, but not in this case. I don't know how they managed to give this radio station that was in Cleveland a K in its call letters. But then I don't know what the circumstance was, but they left Cleveland and went to Philadelphia and broadcast from what they called Independence Square. Now, Independence Square is that mall-like grassy area that runs north and south right near Independence Hall. That's how it got its name. Oh, here we go. This might be the answer. Just a second here. Okay, caller, go ahead.
KYW.
Yes, KYW, yes, okay. Hey, you're right on the ball. Okay, what's your name? I'll put you in for the drawing.
Roger.
Roger, okay.
I was talking to you yesterday on the phone.
Oh, okay, Roger. All right.
Okay.
Okay, very good.
Thank
all right.
You.
Okay, here we go. So Roger's going to be in the drawing today. 7403-39944, so I'll cross off KYW. News Radio, 1060 on the dial. It's one of my favorite stations at night. That and WSM in Nashville. And what else comes? Oh, 1030 on the dial is WBZ in Boston. And there's another station in Pittsburgh, which is part of my question today. In 1922, which is 98 years ago, a station in Pittsburgh went on the air, and it's still there. That's more than you can say for a lot of radio stations. A lot of us are still around. A lot of us are new and so forth and so on. But in Pittsburgh, the first station to ever go on the air is still there, and it's still on the air. And you can pick it up any evening after sunset at 1020 on the dial. Now, what's the name of the, what are the call letters of that radio station? 740-383-9944. All right. So, yeah, it's fun going over some of these radio questions because I lived through all this. Hopefully you did too. Okay, here we go. Yes, go ahead, caller.
It's KDKA out of Pittsburgh.
Yes, KDKA, 1020 on the dial.
Yes, and I grew up with KYW, so.
Oh, no kidding.
And WEWS with Dorothy Folheim and all the radio and TV. So,
yeah,
and I won yesterday, so I can't have my name put in. But
No, that's okay. I'll put you in the drawing.
No, that's all right.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, sir.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, yeah, boy, he knows his radio. I can still see on the old upright radios the push buttons. Boy, that was a modernistic trend, a push button, and you could preset those to what station you wanted. And I can, or a lot of them came through with the radio stations already on those buttons. And I can remember seeing KYW, WEWS, and WLW on those push buttons. Boy, that was a, can you, now here, if you're old enough to remember the old upright radio. You know, they stood 4 feet tall, and they had tubes galore and a huge speaker. You didn't want to get across those speaker wires. Boy, you get really shocked to death. And then you had these tall condensers in that radio. And we had a General Electric floor model. It was 4 feet tall. And my dad liked to listen to, in the evenings, there was a program, might have been once a week, I don't know. It was called Turn Out the Lights or something like that. A detective show. So he's sitting there listening to it one evening, and all of a sudden this bam, this sound of a shotgun. My dad jumped, I bet, 10 feet out of his chair. And here it was, one of the condensers in the radio had blown up. And the white material, kind of an acid-like inside that condenser, blew out and covered the wall where the radio was, covered the radio where it was, and scared my dad to death. So I had to take the radio to the repairman and put in one of those tall condensers, they were called. Boy, that's old-time radio. Can you imagine how we're active today in all this technology that was not even thought of back then in that era, the late 30s, early 40s, of radio broadcasts, of mystery shows, and also, and that would make a good question, I'm just thinking here, on Sunday afternoons, there was a sponsor that played a bird singing. Yeah, it was on Sunday. I think it was Sunday afternoons. My mother listened to it faithfully because she had canaries. And she thought those canaries wanted to imitate those she heard on the radio. And I can still hear them in my back of my mind, those birds singing on the radio. Now, today you would do that and they'd run you out of town. Hey, guys playing canaries on the radio. But back then, and it still may be a thing, the company that sponsored that canary program. What was it? What canary feed sponsored that program? And it was nothing but singing, or canaries, you know. And you were supposed to imagine them singing like some of the classical music and this and that. Oh my goodness. Yeah, what company sponsored the canary program, the canaries singing on Sunday afternoons? I think it was Sunday, I'm pretty sure it was. And any person with canaries tuned to that program because they wanted their bird to hear those other birds singing. But what company sponsored that program? That's the big thing I want you to answer. What company sponsored the singing canaries?
Have you heard my interviews with Phyllis Diller here on WWGH?
Have I heard it? I could recite it word for word.
Wow, Charlie, you must have a great memory.
Well, not really, but after 6,432 airings, it just becomes a part of your life. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, and you hear Phyllis Diller's interview and cackle on WWGH.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, this must be Charlie Durst.
Yeah, was it Hart's Mountain?
Yeah, Hart's Mountain Canary Feed, yes.
I have one of those cans.
No kidding.
Do you remember they were in a little tin?
Yeah.
Came in a little tin. They were orange and had a canary on the front of them.
Yeah, I wonder if they're still in business.
I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, well, let me put your name down for the drawing.
No, I don't want in a drawing.
You don't want? Okay.
Yeah. Do you have any other prizes? You have Jimmy John's or anything?
Yeah. Well, I just, as a matter of fact, now just a second here. Let me see. Yeah, here it is, Jimmy John's. I'll put. Yeah. Okay. And what's your name?
Charlie Durst.
Yeah, that's Charlie. I just said that earlier. Okay, Charlie, you win a Jimmy John's sandwich.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Charlie. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, all right. So, Charlie Durst. Okay, put that down here. And draw a line over to 11720. Time, boy. Where has January gone? It went, or it's going. Woo, wow. Okay, so we got three takers today, and we'll have a drawing close to noon today, too, for those Ridgedale tickets. Or ticket. Yeah, I'm giving away one Ridgedale. 18th Annual Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR Dinner and Auction. February 15th. Okay, now, what do I have next here? Another radio question? Yeah, sure. Okay, well, I set this out here. Get all these things straightened out. Okay, there's Papa John's, okay. You can come here before I go off the air and pick that up if you want. Give you a sandwich for dinner. Okay, now, let me see. What else? Find my notebook here. Do you know how much time I spend every day trying to think up of questions? Half of my day is shot trying to think of questions that I can answer or have you try to answer. Okay, now here's a toughie. Still, I need to know all the parts necessary to make a crystal radio. And there are not that many things you have to make a crystal radio, believe me. But and you can still build them, and they still work on AM. And usually, the strongest station in the area will appear. At nighttime, you might get a whole slew of stations, but in the daytime, it takes a powerful station to come through. Okay. Now, let me see. Crystal radio, what is necessary? And I used to build them. And I still have at home the very first commercially produced crystal radio. It has its coils and everything. You know, it was made by the Duck Company in Toledo, Ohio, back around 1916. That's right. Boy, it's an oldie. It has coils that slide in and out, and oh, my goodness, it's kind of complicated, but yet not complicated for what we know today. But I do have. In fact, it was, I think one time there was a picture of me in the newspaper, and it's in the background, sitting on a shelf. My early crystal radio that was manufactured in Toledo. But you didn't need to go to a commercial manufacturer to build a crystal radio. You needed a crystal. Well, that's part of the question. What must you have to build a crystal radio today? Okay, now what else? Here's a tough one. Now, if any of you grew up in Chicago, you'd know the answer to this one. There is a radio station in Chicago called the Prairie Farmer. And it's a three-call-letter station, like so many of the early ones. And its nickname is the Prairie Farmer Station. I don't know if they still use that. They probably do. But what's its call letters? What are the call letters of the Prairie Farmer radio station in Chicago? 7403399944. Okay. Now I've got a lot of questions here. For once. Okay, now, can you tell me in what year was FM invented and put to use? FM radio. Not necessarily the broadcast version, but FM itself, frequency modulation. It was first used when? What was the year? If you come close, I'll give you the answer, or make you a winner. Okay, the start of FM radio. And it took years after it was invented for it to become a broadcast media. I can remember working at WMRN as an engineer, and we had a FM transmitter that just sat there. It was produced in since 1948, and I kept, well, I think the chief engineer wondered too, when will the government allow us to put that on the air? And finally the word came through that the freeze on FM radios was taken away, and away you go. You can turn on your FM transmitter now, and it needs separate call letters. Of course, ours was WMRN-FM, and most other stations added the FM. But it took us, I think, all told, 3 weeks to finish putting that together and getting it on the air. And we had all kinds of problems, because first we went on at 2.5 kilowatts, and then the FCC okayed up to 5 kilowatts, so we had to do some more conversion of transformers, large condensers, resistors, and the whole thing. We had to carry all this stuff up from the basement where it had been stored. Oh my, those were the days that you really worked, and you had to be so careful in assembly that you didn't get across, that you didn't turn the power on until you were assured the things were okay. Otherwise, you got it zapped with over 5,000 volts. Woo, boy. Oh, and I think I told the story, too, about how we interfered with Wright-Patterson Air Force Base activity with our newly on-the-air FM transmitter. I'll have to give you that story if we got some time today. I think I already gave it once. Okay, now, so what year was FM invented? I can't remember the name of the inventor. I know there was a Mr. Armstrong somewhere in there. Okay, and let me see. Oh, here's one. During World War II, there was a very powerful transmitter in Japan. It broadcast on a frequency that it knew our troops could hear. It might not have been, the regular broadcast dial, but yet it probably was. And there was a late... Oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead. Yes, go ahead, caller. Well, our caller has disappeared. Okay, call again. So, in World War II, in Japan, was this high-powered radio that broadcast messages to our men. In fact, I don't know. We have not that many World War II guys left. Kensel Clutter's one of them. He's 100 years old now. But there was a lady on... It was an AM broadcast to all of our troops. And I think a lot of our troops just listened to her for the fun of it. But in the meantime, her message was, give up your arms. Come to Japan. We'll welcome you. And besides that, the man right next to you might be killed. You don't want to be killed, do you? Because we're after you. But anyhow, what was that lady's name? It was, everybody knew that lady. All of the men in service, of course, knew her quite well. There was a lady in Germany that did the same thing, tried to discourage our troops. And she and her name was Axis Sally. Remember her? Axis Sally. Now, if you were in World War II, you heard Axis Sally. Now, I don't know if any of the other wars ever had any psychological people determined to discourage you like that. Okay, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, that'd be Tokyo Rose.
It sure was. Yes, Tokyo Rose. Oh, you're not old enough to hear have heard her, though, I bet.
No, 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 that was beyond my days. My dad actually told me about some of the things that happened about that era. Unfortunately, I didn't learn enough about it, but...
Yeah.
See, that's some of what he said, so I still remember that part.
And my dad was over in Guam, and he heard her, and he said most of the guys just laughed. You know, they knew what she was up to, trying to discourage them to get their spirits down.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. He said it was sort of like cheap entertainment there.
Yeah. Well, hey, can I put you in the drawing?
Oh, you already did. I was the first caller this morning, Stephen.
Very good. Okay, Stephen.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Have a good one.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, indeed. Now, there's probably no one left listening that remember. Well, if Kensel Clutter was listening, he would know all about Tokyo Rose, that's for sure. And there's several others that of that era in their 90s that could remember Tokyo Rose. Now, I wonder, and I can't remember, if she was ever apprehended by our troops and put into prison for what she did to discourage our men. I don't know if that happened or not. And I think it happened to Axis Sally. I think she was arrested, but I that's been a long time ago. Okay. Well, let's see what else is going on here. That lady hasn't found her cat yet, I take it. It was a Clinton, Bennett, and I Street area. The black cat, she's offering quite a nice reward for that cat. Okay, now, let's continue on here. I still have open the, let me see here. Let me keep all my giveaways in order here. Okay, I've got 1, 2, 3 people I'm going to draw at 11:55 so far. And every other winner today will be put in the drawing for the ticket to the 18th Annual Ridgedale Lions Club auction, Daytona 500 NASCAR dinner and auction, Saturday, February 15th. That's out on Route 30, just before you get to Big Island. And the doors open at 4, dinner at 5, and it's a great time. I can remember Jeff Ruth talking a lot about this. Jeff, even though Jeff is a member of the Marion Evening Lions Club, I think it was, he always promoted this too, so I'm happy to promote it myself for that. Okay. I was just looking here. I saw this little black dot running across my paper, and it's actually something in my eye. That's weird. I'm looking down, and I see this little black dot, like the size of a pen.
From NBC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira.
Wow, that was a special morning doing the opening for the Today Show in 2011.
Yes, but you know what? There was a downside.
What was that?
Having to share a dressing room with Willard Scott. Smucker jars everywhere.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, back once again. And the time is 10:45. Okay, now, what was I asking you before that? Let me check my book here. Okay, the caller is WLS in Chicago. What was its, what'd they call it? Now, you know, each radio station has a little anecdote that follows our call letters. I don't know what ours is. Do we have one? I don't think we do. We need one, don't we? We need something we could give our call letters and give it a name. A WLW, the Nation Station. Remember that? Yeah. WJR in the Fisher Building in downtown Detroit. KYW, News Radio 1060 on your dial. But what would you call this WLS? What is its little phrase after its call letters? It had to do with agriculture. I'll give you that hint. All right, now, continuing on, let me see. I'm trying to find out. FM radio, 1940 was the year it started. Okay. And let me see another here. Well, can you tell me the frequency of KYW or KDKA in Pittsburgh? If you were, say it's dark, it's sunset, and you want to listen to Pittsburgh KDKA, what, where on the dial would you find that? What's its frequency? KYW. 740-383-9944, and you can get it here loud and clear most any night. And the one station, too, that I listen to quite a bit at night is WSM in Nashville, Tennessee, and the Grand Ole Opry. And they have Grand Ole Opry on Friday nights, Saturday nights, and in between they, of course, have country music, as which is what the Grand Ole Opry is. And I remember there was one member of the Grand Ole Opry that came to Marion at least once, not as an entertainer, but as a guest of the Masonic Temple in Caledonia, because little Jimmy Dickens belonged to the Masons. And he came to Caledonia for a special installation. Little Jimmy Dickens. Now, what was it that was so unusual other than his height? Jimmy Dickens, you could see him coming a mile away. Why? That's a good question. Why? How did you recognize little Jimmy Dickens? Now, he was 90-some years old when he died. And he was so good, he could barely sing before he died, though. It was a shame. He wanted to sing so bad, and he had the same jokes. He never changed his jokes for years. And that's something. You can tell I'm a radio person. Little Jimmy Dickens. Oh, what set him aside other than his height? Little. It was true. Little Jimmy Dickens was a short guy. But why did he stand out? Now, that's a good question. Why did little Jimmy Dickens stand out? And like I say, he was in Caledonia. Oh, it's been about 5 or 10 years ago at the Masonic Lodge there. He might have had a relative here. I don't know. Okay. There's another, Jeannie C. Riley is another singer that's about as old as Jimmy was. And Jeannie C. Riley, she can barely sing anymore, even though she's called upon to do that occasionally. Okay, where was I? Oh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
His outfits, maybe?
No, wait, what was that?
His outfits.
Oh, yes, his outfits, yeah. His breath, yeah. Yes, for sure. Okay. All right, well, let me put you down for the running here.
No, I've already got tickets.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, little Jimmy Dickens dressed rather loudly. He wore Western suits that had all this fancy on them. Yeah, that's what set little Jimmy Dickens apart. Not only his height, but the way he dressed. Okay. Now, let's move on. What else do we have here? FM radio began in 1940, okay. Tokyo Bros. Oh, here's one. In 1938, there was a radio program that got everybody all upset. And, oh, it was terrible. They'll never have a program like that on the radio again. Now, what was that program? It was a one time only. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah.
I just need to ask you one question, if I could, real quick.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening to one of your past programs there, and you had somebody on there by the name of Steve Boom Boom Cannon.
Yes.
What's he doing these days?
Well, he's kind of retired. He lives over in Pennsylvania, I think.
Really?
I think in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And he might be on another station around here occasionally.
Okay, I kind of wondered, because I used to listen to Midnight on whenever I worked Midnight, where I was working, and he had the show down there in Columbus.
That's right. And before that, he had a program over, I can't remember the name of the town, but yeah, I used to listen to him quite a bit, too.
Yeah, does he come on to your show quite often, does he?
Well, that's a recording.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just kind of wondered, because I'd enjoy trying to maybe talk to him once more again.
Yes. Well, he was here with us live quite a few times.
Well, I'll be darned.
He's like most of us. He's aging.
Yeah, okay. Well, I get the message.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Charlie. I appreciate it, buddy.
All right, fine. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, yes. Any other questions? Okay, we've got three lined up here for the drawing. We need some more. Okay, let me get out my little book here and pick out another. And I think I asked it yesterday. I don't know if I answered it myself. The MC for the opera. And now, this was on ABC Radio Network. And I sat on Saturday afternoons behind the controls as an engineer. Boy, when I graduated to become an announcer, I was glad I didn't have to work Saturday afternoons and listen to the opera. Although, when I hear operas now, they sound familiar. It kind of brings back the old days. Oh, boy. But yes, what was the name of the, and he was so famous, the moderator of the broadcast of the Metropolitan Opera. And this man's initials were M and C. M and C. He's, of course, long dead now. But he used to have, in between the operas on Saturday afternoons, he had a quiz program. An opera quiz program, that is. Okay, who was this man? Yeah. Anybody know? Apparently not. Okay. Oh, yes. His initials were M.C. And, well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you his first name, if that would help. Milton. What was his last name? Milton. That's his first name. Okay. Now, we go to the 1938 broadcast of a program on radio. I don't know if they've ever played that again. They probably have. But because of the broadcast of the, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
The radio broadcast that got everybody upset, was that War of the Worlds?
Yes, it was War of the Worlds.
Hey, and I didn't have to Google that.
Hey, and this, no, that's good. And let's see, your name?
Oh, I already won yesterday. I just wanted to play along for a
while. Oh, really? Well,
Does that make you mad? Like,
I didn't register.
We're burning up your questions.
I didn't register.
If we've already won, do you prefer for us not to?
Well, no. This is an open day today. Well, anybody that wins one of my answers here gets registered. And I might as well register you.
Okay.
Okay, Sarah?
Yep. I'm getting to be a regular, aren't I?
Well, that's good. And your last name is Burgraff, right?
Yes, that's correct.
How about that?
My
memory is still there. Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to make a drawing at 11:55, Sarah.
I'll be listening.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, yeah. Sarah Burgraff, she had won, yeah. Yeah, why? Let me see, 11720. Okay, callers. Go right ahead and call if you know an answer. Oh, I've got all these questions here. Thank goodness. Oh, here's a good one. Name the first president who had his inauguration broadcast on nationwide radio. Well, was it nationwide? But at least it was radio. The first president to have his inauguration speech broadcast on radio. Now, who would that have been? Yeah. He's the same guy that drank Moxie soda pop like I do. And before he was sworn in as President of the United States, and long before his inauguration speech, he had to drink his Moxie. Now, if you're ever on vacation in the eastern part of the country, you can look around and you'll find Moxie. I had to sneeze, excuse me. You'll also find it down at Cracker Barrel at Sunbury. Moxie. But most people don't like it. But I do. Of course, a lot of people don't like sushi, but I do. Sneeze, sneeze, wow. But yes, I've had I've had sushi 2 days in a row now. And boy, is it good. Wow. I don't. Somebody must put pepper in the ventilation. Man, sneeze, sneeze, sneeze. Okay, what was I talking about? Oh yeah, the first president to have his inauguration speech broadcast on radio. Who was that? Yeah, who was the man whose inauguration speech was broadcast on radio? He was a very first person to have that done. That's right. The very first. Well, in just a few moments here, we'll be breaking for the 11 o'clock news and whatever. So anybody want to give me an answer to that? Okay, 740-383-9944. The first president to ever have his inauguration speech broadcast. Who would that have been? And he was from New England. I'll give you that much of a hint. Okay, we're going to, let's see, it's 10:59 right now. We're going to break here shortly. Who was that? Call me quick if you know the answer. And I'll get you registered for the drawing at 10:55. All right. Who was that man? The first to have his inauguration speech broadcast on radio. You know, a lot of firsts took place.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary First Lady of Broadcasting in Marion, Madge Cooper.
If you have a new announcer and he's not from this area, you make sure that before he went on the air the first time, you said, it is not Bucky Russ.
Then got back into radio, and now I'm doing some syndicated shows for Ducks Unlimited and for the Toyota Motor Company.
You got a commercial in there, and you weren't authorized.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Madge, we got the first little portable recorders. Remember those? And I still got mine.
Madge used to put hers in front of the microphone to play it.
Yes, yes.
You brought it back from New York, didn't you?
There
you go.
Sometimes they worked and sometimes they didn't. And I got that trip to New York interviewing a Paris designer. And they said, well, you know, you can't work this anywhere up here. You have to go down to the basement where there is DC current. So I took Pauline Trigier. I took Pauline Trigier into the basement of this hotel to interview her there. And she is as slick an announcer as I ever saw it. I mean, a designer. She's probably one of the best designers. She just took to that very well. It worked for that one. Then I did some other one sometime while I was still there. It didn't work.
Madge Cooper. Madge Guthrie.
You won't be a millionaire, but it's the best job in the world.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address, 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number, 740-225-4495. Webpage, crtmechanicals.com.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds, and traveling at 55